I took a test in seminary called the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Personality Test. It's believed that if you take the test, it will tell you a lot about yourself. I always tell people that I failed the test. The Myers-Briggs test is based on forced choices. They give you a situation and they ask you to choose either A or B as your response. You have to pick one or the other, you are told. For me, often both answers were equally wrong. The questions went something like this. A person insults you at a party. Do you A, go off in the corner and sulk, or B, scream at the person until they apologize? You have to choose either A or B. Well, neither answer is correct, and being forced to choose between two poor answers makes no sense to me at all. So when I was given the test, I messed up all the results by continually writing in the margins of the answer sheet the unasked for answer choice C. So here's the scene for today's reading. Jerusalem is the former capital of the Kingdom of Israel, an occupied country. The citizens of that country mostly hate their Roman occupiers, who are making life very difficult by doing what empires always do, draining off the resources of vulnerable people. In this time of high tension comes Passover, in which everyone who can goes to Jerusalem to make their sacrifices at the temple. And just to add to the tension, the holy day of Passover celebrates the liberation of the Jewish people from an oppressive empire. The streets of Jerusalem were undoubtedly crowded. The garrison of the Roman occupiers would have been pitifully small compared to the number of Jewish people in town. The Romans were undoubtedly nervous and were on high alert. Governor Pontius Pilate was forced to leave the cool breezes of his seaside headquarters to bring extra troops to the stuffy, smelly, crowded confines of Jerusalem. And to this volatile mix comes Jesus. I've been a part of many different protests in my life, and I have to say that it seems quite likely that this event that we read about today didn't just spontaneously occur. Things like that don't spontaneously occur. They have to be planned. You have to get people to turn out, and for people to turn out, they have to know when it's happening and where it's happening and what's happening. It seems likely that Jesus organized the event of today's story. Part theater, part protest, and undoubtedly big fun for all, the people turned out to thumb their noses at the Roman Empire. It was an inauguration parade for a Jewish king. And Jesus played the part of the king. He rode a colt into the city to recall the image from the book of the prophet Zechariah about how a victorious king should come into Jerusalem. All of this was surely a great deal of fun. Who could not see in this glorious celebration of the coming of a new Jewish king a denunciation of the current Roman-led administration? It wasn't a revolt, it wasn't a riot, it was just a fun piece of political theater, utterly nonviolent, but very much in the face of the occupiers. Did the Romans understand what was going on? Well, we don't know. The action wasn't for their benefit. It was an opportunity for the fearful, oppressed people of Israel to stand up against their oppressors. It was an opportunity to see how the Romans could be opposed nonviolently. Did the people really believe that Jesus was their king? Maybe not. If the common people were waiting for Jesus to match their dream of a king who would violently chase out the Romans, then they were sadly disappointed. Jesus didn't come to meet popular expectations. He came to demonstrate the radical alternative that is the realm of God. It was a choice C sort of situation. Who's right? A, the Roman Empire, or B, those who dreamed of a violent revolt and a Jewish king? The answer is C, Jesus, who sided neither with the Romans nor with those who wanted to set up their own mini Jewish form of empire. Christianity is a choice C sort of faith. When someone threatens you with violence, do you A, do what they want to avoid the violence, or B, prepare to use violence in retaliation? The answer is C, find a way to stand up for what's right and yet not use violence. People are always trying to define the universe for us. You are either for us or against us. You're either Republican or Democrat. You are either capitalist or socialist. You are either washed in the blood of the Lamb or you are damned. Pick one. Choose. It's a device used to limit our thinking. The ironic thing about the story is that for Christians, Jesus was the person that the crowd was celebrating. He was the Messiah. He was the king. But king, not as defined by our civilization, but as defined by God. King as servant. Their liberator, the liberator of those people who participated in this piece of political theater, had actually come that day. But because the people were looking for a choice B liberator, they missed the real thing when he was in their midst. Not even the disciples understood the real meaning of the parade they helped organize and marched in. That's the big challenge of our faith. Seeing the world in terms of choice C. Seeing the answers as being right here, but not visible through the common way we're taught to see the world. We have been conditioned all of our lives to see the world in terms of choices that predetermine that we will go in the wrong direction. And because we see the world in terms of A or B, we miss the miraculous possibilities parading past us all the time. Everyone wants to force us into choices A or B. The whole world is a forced choice test. And the choices the world offers us are generally both wrong. No political party, no church, no ideology, no candidate, no technology, no branch of government, no revolutionary cabal, no amount of money is the answer to the problems of the world and to the emptiness we feel at times. The answer is choice C, the will of God, known in self-giving love, and knowing that that love always flows first to those who are most in need. If we awaken to the power of love, we get a different perspective on what's important and what's possible. Out of that awakening comes real hope. All over the world, people are suffering and dying because we as a civilization are clinging to a worldview that leads us unerringly to the path of destruction and suffering. All the while, the parade of God's love and justice is passing by. Many people are filled with despair because they know that the choices the world offers will not bring about the solutions the world needs. The good though ironic news of this story is that the answers are right here. Changing the world has never been about the things we do not yet have. We don't have to find a way to redistribute power. We have to awaken to the power we already have. We don't need a greater ability to dominate those with whom we disagree. We need to awaken to the nonviolent power of refusing to cooperate with those who seek to do the world harm. Everything we need to transform our lives and the world is right here, right now. We don't need to wait for the solution to our problems to drop out of a cloud, get invented, or to win an election. It is a mark of our faith to take risks for what's right, even if we can't see how things will change because of those risks. It is the mystery of our faith that when we dare to take a step in the right direction, we will eventually see the next step, and then the next. Jesus didn't leave us with a detailed plan on how to change the world. He left us his example, how he lived and how he died. Jesus just kept taking faithful steps, following the logic of God's love until he could step no further. And then someone else marched forward in his stead. The parade goes on. As long as there are people who dare enough and dream enough, the parade will just keep marching on. And that's our calling. And that's good news. Amen.